Hi, everybody. Hey, we've got some RV news, some travel tips, and the sad and dirty story about Bo and, a pile of muck.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel, no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun, and using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So welcome, everybody. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. And it is delighted to be with you here. We just never can get enough of our podcasts. It's kind of a special time for Jen and I each week at this time. We just kind of like hanging out, talking with you, knowing that some of you are working out at the health club and other people are taking hikes with their dogs. And speaking of which, that's what my lifelong traveling companion and my bride and I are going to talk about right now, our hike with Bo this morning.
Well, it was an adventure hike.
It was.
I've never seen Bo so happy on a hike before.
But it was a dirty hike because we were walking through, actually, the Bald Mountain Recreation Area in southeast Michigan. Beautiful area. Woods and paths and snow and a frozen lake. We thought, or Bo thought, he ran down to the edge of the lake, and what happened?
He got caught in muck.
He broke through the ice and got caught in about a foot and a half of muck. Covered him. I mean...
Well, yeah, it covered him pretty good.
He was an absolute mess, dripping with thick, stinky muck.
And he then, loved it. Smelled good to him.
Yeah, it did. And then... To make matters worse, he ran off in the woods and came back covered with burrs.
Well, that's what happens. It's that time of year.
So Bo, Dirty Bo, went to the groomer, and thanks to Peggy, our groomer, he's now unstinky Bo again. But it's kind of an example. You really have to watch him because if that water had been deep, you know, and he broke through the ice. He broke through. It's his second time in a row. I guess I'm sounding a bad pet owner, aren't I? My wife is nodding at me. She doesn't want me to talk about this. We were up at Tequamanon Falls this weekend at a campout, and he ran across a little tiny creek, and the water and the ice that was on it broke. It was only a few inches deep, but it was fun. I got it all on video, so I thought it was great. But at any rate, I won't talk about it anymore because she thinks that people are going to get the wrong idea about us taking care of Bo.
Well, hopefully he's going to figure out when we say back, that means back, and... danger and communicating with our pet.
Yep. So we did do our winter campout experience at Tequamanon Falls State Park in Michigan's snowy UP, about 10 inches of snow on the ground.
It was very nice because I was afraid there wasn't going to be any snow, but there was just enough snow.
Couldn't snowshoe. It wasn't quite enough to snowshoe as it usually is. Usually we have about 2.5 feet, 2 feet mm-hmm. at least. And this is the least amount of snow in how many years have we been doing this?
About 7 years.
And we were not sure what to make of it. We recently had, I don't know, close to 50 people probably who were going to come, and COVID scared away half of them, more than half. I think we had 16 that finally did show.
Counting us, there were 16 people.
And it was great. We had great big campfires. We had food catered into us, which was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Everybody was socially distant or wore masks around the campfire, but lots of fresh air. And we did real well up there. Except for our sleeping.
All right, you got to throw that in too.
Yeah, you got me on. You didn't like me talking about the dogs. So I might as well confess about the sleeping, our sleeping bags, our RV super bags, which we usually bring.
I forgot to bring them.
Well,
I brought the sheets, but normally I put the sheets in the bag, but we were kind of running late, and so I wanted to hit the road, and I didn't put the sheets in the bag. And then when I got around to doing that, there weren't any sleeping bags. We had left them at home because I usually unpack a lot when we're not going to be traveling for a little bit.
We were, I guess halfway up, and we went all the way up and weren't quite sure what we do, but we actually made out quite well. It's the first time we did some extended overnight camping in the Wonder in the winter, and the temperature the first night got down to 10 degrees above zero, and we slept quite comfortably, really.
It was very warm. With the Wonder mattresses, Leisure Travel Van has a cover that they put on top of them. And so we used that as a blanket and a beach towel. And we had our sheets and bundled up, and we were perfectly comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, to the point of almost being hot.
Right.
We had the furnace down to like 56 degrees, and that was still too hot.
So. Yeah.
But I think what we noticed about this RV is how well insulated it is.
Right.
We did not take our Reflectex with us and didn't put that on the windows, and we didn't need it.
It was just very
comfortable. In fact, one of the days we actually turned the furnace pretty much off and just used a little ceramic heater, and it warmed the place up really well.
Yeah, because regular heaters, the heat vents are on the floor, and that's our spoiled dog. It's kind of hot for him.
He doesn't like lying next to the heat vents.
Not that we needed to use a ceramic heater, but I said, why not use this and we'll put the heat up higher?
Yeah. And so he...
And he was happy. We were happy.
The heat, not raising the thermostat higher, but putting the heat source higher up on a countertop on the galley. And so it wasn't forced air blowing on the floor across Bow. And we stayed warm and he didn't have the heat blowing him. But boy, we enjoyed the woods. It's always do up there.
We always do.
Just great hikes and running through the woods and great friends. It was fun to have all the folks we see usually only once a year up there, but we keep in touch through Facebook and all that stuff. But it was great to see everybody. So that's what we did this past weekend. And we also, after going back and forth and back, we're now not doing it. We are not attending the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa, which is underway starting today, as this episode is being released on January 13th, 2021. The Florida RV Super Show starts at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, and we decided not to go.
I bet we're going to be sad. We're going to miss it.
Yes, we are. We always have such a good time there. It's a little different of a year. For us, the big factor was Industry Day, which was usually the Tuesday before the show opened to the public. It's open to media and industry. So the crowds are down. And for us, being in the media, it gave us time to really shoot a video of a bunch of different RVs. We could actually take our time and get good shots. And most importantly, go inside the RVs and shoot the interiors. Now, imagine what that's going to be like as the show opens with the public there, with, you know, thousands of people trying to go through those RVs. They don't take kindly to a TV crew in there shooting video.
And it seems like about every other person these days considers themselves
media.
Media.
Yeah, that's the truth. They all, hey, we're bloggers. And, you know, great for them. I don't mean to disparage that, but it seems like that. And so it just doesn't, it just would have been ugly. It would have been ugly, and I would have been frustrated not being able to get the shots we need. And, you know, so we decided not to go. And the other reason is COVID. It's still out there. And even though the show says people inside an RV must wear a mask, there's still going to be a lot of people going in and out of that very confined space that is by nature an RV. So
We chickened out.
We chickened out, and we're not going out. And like Jen says, we're going to miss it because we always have a good time there.
Yeah, because we need to go to an RV show.
Meanwhile,
we need our RV fix.
While the Tampa show is underway, also opening this week is the annual Quartzsite RV and Sports Show out in Quartzsite, Arizona. Normally, that show packs in over 100,000 people who come into well, there's a bunch of exhibits all around it. There's 10 service bays where you can buy stuff and get them installed. And there are usually 100,000 people that visit that Quartzsite, Arizona show. Kimmy King, who is running it this year, her dad, Kenny, is ill and is not able to be there this year. So good luck to our friend Kimmy. She says that there are a lot of challenges, and they expect a few less people, but it is very much on, and lots of people are out there in courtside in the desert in that BLM land where they can boondock for 14 days for free. They're all there.
And they're going to have a good time.
Yep. She says that she doesn't know. She's the crowd she thinks is going to be down a little bit, but she's noticing that more and more people are coming into the area, and social media is showing a lot of interest in it. So the Quartzsite show is still on. Lots of criticism, I will say that, from various folks in the RV community and outside of it about these big shows, Tampa and Quartzsite going on. Other shows are canceled. The Boston RV show did cancel for this year. That was supposed to be coming up in another month or so, I think, in New England, and that show is canceled. Many other shows are down. Florida has the Jacksonville show still on the agenda, and it has one coming up in Fort Myers as well, and a big boat show in St. Petersburg. So Florida very much open, and the Arizona Quartzsite show still on. So without judging anybody or getting into all that, we'll just say that there's still a lot of confusion. We have a question coming up in our question of the week about all that and what our thoughts are on it. We'll share a little bit more there. So that's what we have. That's what we have been up for. We do plan to do some traveling in the next couple of weeks.
We do.
We are thinking we're going to head south, and we'll tell you more about that as we...
Actually, I want to do one more trip north because I had so much fun.
Oh, yeah. We found that new area. We found a new place that's open that we would really like to go see. A new campground that's open up by Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes. It's actually not a new campground. It's just be new to us that it's open. We didn't know it was open in the winter. And that one has heated showers and heated bathhouses, which are still open. We did not have that at Tequamanon Falls. So, but anyway, that's the Platte River Campground. And we, you know, there's a chance. Maybe we will go up for that. We'll have to do some more checking. Yeah. But we do have a Florida trip planned fairly quick, and we'll let you know about that. So that's what we got for you right there. This part of the show is brought to you by Camping World. Camping World is, of course, America's number one RV dealer. And with so many in-person RV shows still being canceled this year, Camping World decided not to do the big Tampa show this year. And that's left a lot of people wondering, you know, what's the best way to safely buy an RV during a pandemic? And so Camping World came up with the idea of holding what they call the Ultimate RV Show. And so that's what they're doing. From now until March 6th, you can tune in each week to the Camping World social media page or to ultimatervshow.com, and you'll see Camping World offering discounts on hundreds of RVs that are shoppable right from your couch. In addition to the RV deals, they're offering RV walkthroughs, tons of retail product specials. The address is ultimatervshow.com. And again, that's ultimatervshow.com. You can register for free. And you'll get reminders if you want when the show and what they're offering. So tune it in, theultimatervshow.com, national tour. It's every week until March 6th. You can discover a nice little deal on a new RV. You can treat yourself to some new gear or just tune in for some weekly entertainment with other outdoor enthusiasts. Jen and I did an hour-long appearance on that show last Friday and had a great time. Anyway, for more information and to register, just visit ultimatervshow.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
If you are making plans for the MLK weekend, you may want to include visiting a national park. Admission to all national parks is waived Monday, January 18th, as the date is one of six free days sprinkled throughout the year. The National Park Service manages 423 parks, 108 of which charge admission, some as high as $35 per vehicle.
Now, we have a list of our favorite national parks that you can see. We're going to link a whole bunch of the ones that were favorite parks of the West, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes at rvlifestyle.com/327. In Tennessee, we have a story about state parks and how popular camping has been. You know, we're often asked what we think camping is going to look like in 2021, and one of the trends that we anticipate continuing is full campgrounds, and we're starting to get some evidence of that. Last week, the Tennessee State Park System became the latest to report record camping reservations in 2020, and with 4 months of 2020 being the busiest that the state system ever recorded. That trend is fueled by, of course, people wanting to vacation and get away, but wanting to be socially distant, and that's why RVs are so popular. So they're turning to camping as a safer way to do that during the pandemic. And we expect to see this trend continuing right through into 2021.
Grand Teton National Park will be moving more of its camping sites to a reservation system later this month. Beginning January 26th, five of the park's campgrounds that were on a first-come, first-served system can be booked ahead. Officials said this will reduce public crowding and will enable people to better plan ahead.
A Colorado man who allegedly used a blowtorch to steal cash that was locked up for campsite use on governmental land was sentenced to 15 months in federal prison for damaging governmental property. The man apparently went to campgrounds that were managed by the Bureau of Land Management at night, and he used a blowtorch to bust open the tubes which campers use to leave deposits for their campsite use. He was covering the light of the torch with a tarp as he did it, and he's charged with causing $39,000 in damage to government property.
The USDA Forest Service extended the campground closures at 12 national forests in California through January 29th. The campground closures are part of a coordinated response to stop the spread of COVID-19. The California governor is urging people to stay at home, and the campground closure is part of that effort. The national forests are open for day use, but like everything these days, always check before adding out. In addition, California health officials have urged state residents not to move more than 120 miles from their home, while at the same time telling out-of-state visitors and RVers to stay away.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes are built for everything. They're priced for everybody. They have a series of different e-bike models that are perfect for RVers, and they fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. You can get them as folding RVs. They literally fold up and will fit very well in the storage compartment on most of your RVs. They have full-sized beach cruiser type RV or e-bikes that you can carry on a hitch on your RV. They also have some really nifty step-through models, as well as fat tire models and mountain bike models, all sorts of different e-bike styles from Rad Power Bikes. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and they will go, as I said, 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. That's just amazing. They're priced at less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut off. They deal directly with the consumer. So if you mention RV lifestyle at checkout, Rad Power Bikes will give you an additional $75 off plus free shipping on all their bike models. Use the coupon code RVLifestyle, $75 off. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this is a question that came to us by email from one of our listeners. And the listener is Carla. And here's what she says. She says, "Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I hope you will be very candid in answering this question. Is it safe to travel in our RV? We hear so many things, some that seem far-fetched, others scary, and others saying everything is fine. Specifically, do you know if RVers are being rudely treated and encountering RVs equal COVID signs or other nastiness from locals who don't want us there? How have you two handled all the craziness? What's it like out there? We really hope we can start traveling again soon, and we look forward to hearing your response.
Well, for me, if I were to get sick, I'd rather be sick at home than in an RV or in a strange community hospital.
So that's one of the reasons that we have decided that we wouldn't take trips really any more than, you know, half a day's drive away from our Sticks and Bricks home.
Figuring that we could get home if we didn't feel well.
Right. But that said, we have encountered no problems at all, and we're in one of the more restrictive states, Michigan, and we've had absolutely no problems. We've also camped in Indiana and had no issues there as well. We've been in Indiana. The issue about nastiness on the road, we have heard sporadic but unverified reports of that. Particularly, I've heard the same thing about the sign that said RVers equal COVID. I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, was it just one place from one person? I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no widespread reports that we are receiving, and we're in touch with a lot of RVers every day, you know, through all of our different platforms. We're hearing no widespread reports of any hostility. In fact, just the opposite. People seem to be very nice and welcoming. Many of the tourists are delighted to see them because they need that influx of tourist money into their economy.
Yeah, when we were in the Upper Peninsula this past weekend, you know, they need the money.
They do. I mean, we talked to a couple of different merchants, and, you know, as we drove through, and, you know, they've been down now for close enough to a year to say a year. And most of these folks, you know, they make their money only during, in the UP, it's during snowmobile season and during the summer and the hunting season. Well, there's been no real snowmobile season yet, and the summer was curtailed because of COVID concerns. And that's kind of true in rural areas all over the country.
Even hotels, people are not staying in hotel rooms. And even we're in metropolitan Detroit area, and our little local restaurant where normally it's jammed with people to eat at lunch, it's a place that closes like at 3. I stopped by the other day to take out a takeout, and
that's all you can do in Michigan is takeout.
No, yeah. Business. I don't know how they're even staying open. It really is hurting a lot of people being closed.
You know, I don't know where we are with this COVID situation. And, you know, when you look ahead to the year, anything is possible. I mean, a year ago, could any of us, we were just starting to talk about COVID 1 year ago right now. We had heard the phrase. At that time, we kept calling it the coronavirus. And everybody was making jokes about Corona beer. And remember that?
Yeah.
And so we had heard about it a year ago, but no one would have believed the devastating effect it would have.
I know, being down at Key West and seeing a big cruise ship coming in from Italy, I was like, whoa.
Right, yeah, I remember that. That was in January.
I was like, this is scary.
That was in February. We were in Key West. And yeah, at that point, we were starting to hear how bad it was in Italy. Mm-hmm. And here came a cruise ship filled with Italians.
Yeah, and the streets were crowded. And I'm like,
We were climbing a tower at a lighthouse in Key West, the big lighthouse, and all these people in the cruise ship were holding that rail going up and down that winding lighthouse. Yeah. They kept saying, oh man, and
we touching the rail.
But so we were aware of it a year ago,
right?
And then I remember we were at the Everglades a week or so after that, and I heard some guy coughing. I thought, uh-oh. So it's been a year. And now we have traveled. We are putting together right now a highlight reel on all of our travels in 2020, the worst year ever, right? And yet we found we were able, by keeping our travel fairly restricted, to have a really good year. And we put it all together, and we feel much better about 2020. And that'll be released on our channel on Saturday. So to Carla, you can actually, if you look at that video when it comes out Saturday, I think it'll give you an idea of what we experienced in our travels. And there were no nastiness, nothing nasty at all anywhere. And as we look forward to traveling this year, we're going to do so perhaps making our plans on a little shorter notice so we can assess what the situation is. And some of our plans, like the Tampa show, we expected to have been there this week. We will change those if the circumstances so warrant. But I guess I want to give Carla some encouragement that there are a lot of places that you can go. She didn't say what state she's in.
Right. I mean, obviously, California. You're not going there.
We heard from some of our friends, Doug and Glenda, in Texas last night, and it's pretty wide open there.
Mm-hmm.
Camping is wide open. New Mexico is a state that has been extremely restrictive in terms of its state parks, which I think are still closed to camping by anybody. And they have suggested that out-of-towners stay away. So that's one place you may want to take care of. If you go to the website Campendium, you'll find a list of all of the restrictions state by state regarding camping. And there's much fewer of them now than there were in the spring and over the summer. So I think that you're going to see travel and RV travel greatly increase in 2021 by those of us who didn't travel or those who were curtailed last year. And you're going to see a lot more new people still coming in because the interest is phenomenal in RVing, just phenomenal. So I hope that helped. We just want to encourage Carla. It's not all bad out there. You can get out there and you can travel. Just
what would be helpful is to know what state she's in.
Yeah.
And what's close by that she can go travel to.
Hey, do you have a question for us? We would love to feature your voice asking the question on the podcast, and here's how to do that.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to Mike at RVLifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Battleborne Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Whatever kind of RV you have, whatever age it is, there is probably a Battleborne lithium battery that will drop in and replace your existing power system. They'll also help you with the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller, whatever it is that's part of your power system. Battleborne is an expert in lithium technology, and their batteries, like all lithium batteries, they offer better performance than AGM or liquid cell batteries, wet cell batteries. They charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting, they're maintenance free, and the team of battery experts at Battleborne are familiar with almost all of the existing components in your RV, whether it's a Class A, a Class C, a B van, motorhome, or if you have a travel trailer or a cab over camper, don't worry. They know those kind of RVs as well. So check them out. And the best way is to go to their website, which is, we'll put a link to it on our, it's just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. It'll take you there. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. We have lithium batteries from Battleborne in our RV, and that's why Jennifer and I love boondocking so much, because they let us stay out there longer. Check them out. It is rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Well, we have a rather unusual interview this week because the interview is with us. if you remember, we shared with you back in October on a campout that we were visited by a video crew from California that had come out to basically do a little mini documentary on Jennifer and me. And we spent, how many days would they spend shooting that?
Couple days.
We did all sorts of activities. Bo was a huge star in it. And we will link to the video in the show notes so you can actually see the video. And the show note link is rvlifestyle.com/327. rvlifestyle.com/327. But we do have the audio version. It's a short little 3-minute or so interview. But we promised that we would share it when it was released. And it's just now been released. So without too much further ado, let's go to our interview of the week with Mike and Jennifer Wendland. 9-10 years ago, we bought a used Class B, and we started a blog, and lo and behold, it took off. People started to read it, and then we went to YouTube, and then we started the podcast, and we now have like about 750,000 people in our community that follow us. We are Mike and Jennifer Wendland, and we are the RVLifestyle.com blog. We are the RV Lifestyle podcast, the RV Lifestyle YouTube channel, and we got a whole bunch of RV Lifestyle travel guides as well out there.
We have been doing this for about 9 years now, and we have been having so much fun. I just love it. Hey, Bo.
So for us, one of the advantages of traveling is this little guy. This is Bo. Bo is our Norwegian Elkhound, and he was a surprise birthday gift by our three grown kids.
We went into retirement, and we pictured traveling and having fun, but we never dreamed that it would develop into what it has developed into.
It's a business now, and yet it's a business that we love to do.
Mike's a journalist, and I've been a producer for years. We've been fortunate. We've traveled all over the world and seen so many wonderful things, and I guess it's just natural that now that we're out there traveling, that we want to share it with others, not only our family and our immediate friends, but the things that we accidentally see and things that we plan to see, to share it with others.
We call it serendipity travel, because we don't really plot out where we're going to go other than that way. Or maybe we're going to end up at Yellowstone, or maybe we're going to end up at Glacier. But on the way, we just kind of look for things that interest us, and maybe we turn right, maybe we turn left, and we find these wonderful stories out there. We've traveled about 250,000 miles in these 9+ years that we have been doing this, and we are on the road about half to three quarters of the time in a normal year. This has not been a normal year. But it's been surprisingly rewarding to us to get out, because this is the ultimate form of social distancing. I mean, we're in a campground. We're just each other here. And it's a way you can still travel and be relatively safe in this year of the pandemic. But there's so many awesome people we've met in this country. So many people. So many new friends that we've made.
It's just like a big family, a big camp out.
It has been just an education, because we've learned so much about the people, and God's amazing creation, and we've also become closer even as a couple. Even though we've been married over 50 years to the same person, we have really enjoyed this. This has been a gift for us.
So there you go. That's our little mini documentary that Camping World did on us. And I hope you can get a chance to see the video, because you'll see a couple things. First of all, you'll see that Bo steals the show.
Yeah, Bo does. And yes, Bo really does eat apples, and he helped himself to an apple that was in a basket.
Yep.
Because he wanted to be chased, but he likes apples.
And a couple of the backstories there. One, we went to an apple orchard where they shot some B-roll, you know, of us wandering through an apple orchard. And we got there, and there was a big sign that said, no dogs. And so we were in the RV, but as we, they wanted us to drive down on this little two-lane path between apple trees. And they had a drone up in the air, and they were going to get pictures of us in the RV, you know, getting the B-roll cover of us driving down. Well, we had been going in and out of the RV as we were waiting, being staged for that shot. And as we were going in and out, we didn't shut the door as securely as we should, you know, the center sliding door or the center opening door on the RV. So as we're heading down, and they're shooting on the ground, they're shooting above with the drone, the door opened and out ran Bo.
Yeah, like a horse, the Kentucky Derby.
Up and down, he's just running, thrilled to be there with the smile on his Elkhound face. And, of course, they loved it because they got lots of shots of Bo. And then Bo did. He grabbed – we were picking apples out of a basket, and he grabbed one of the apples and ran off with that. So he stole the show. Everybody thought that was the best shot.
Bo it was eating the best his apple. Shot.
And then, let's see, the other behind-the-scenes thing of that interview is the day we shot the interview part was cold. And we weren't really wearing heavy jackets. We had on, you know, like I had a heavy shirt, kind of an insulated shirt, and I don't know what you had. You had a vest on, I think.
Yeah, but I was freezing.
Yeah, I was.
My hands were shaking.
Yeah, we were both really cold. And we did the first interview. Even though they only ran 3 minutes of it, we talked for 45 minutes. We did a couple of other things, some tips and stuff that they're also showing. But anyway, they got through the 45 minutes, and we are delighted because we're actually going on a family camp out at another campground. We wanted to get on the road, and they went to check the video, and the video was fine, but the microphone was off. The audio didn't work. So we had to do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, I was kind of all scrunched up because I was cold.
And we thought it would be a short, just, you know,
couple minutes.
They'd do the video, a couple of shots of us, and be gone. But no, it was 2.5 days of shooting, full days with a crew. Great people. We really enjoyed it.
It was fun. It really was a fun experience.
We really did enjoy working
nice
with them.
Nice people.
Very nice people.
Young people that we were working with.
And they ran that show, that little documentary, on all their social media shows live Friday night at 7 o'clock nationwide. And we were up camping. We watched it in the woods. They did a really nice job with the program and had us answer a lot of questions. And then they showed that. And it was just a real fun time that we had with them. So if you want to see the video version of that, go to the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/327. The interview of the week brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome will be delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs is going to be at the Tampa RV Super Show this week. And in fact, Nick and his crew at Sunshine will be demonstrating and showing new models from Road Trek, the Class B maker from Canada. They're showing their first official public displays of some of their newer models on the Dodge ProMaster chassis. They've got two or three new models that they're going to introduce, and they'll all be on display at Sunshine State RVs at the Tampa RV Super Show this week. Nick and his crew sell a whole line of new RVs. Besides Road Trek, they carry the Winnebago Travato, an Era, the Coachman, American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC. I mean, if you're looking for an RV, check their inventory, their new inventory, and their used inventory. I don't know anybody in North America that has a larger inventory of used RVs than Sunshine State RVs. They're based in Gainesville, Florida, but as I said, if you buy a new motorhome from them, they'll deliver it to your driveway free anywhere in the continental U.S. And their used motorhomes, all of them go through 172-point inspection. They make sure everything works. They turn things on, and they take it on the road. They'll even climb up on the roof and check for cracks and replace any silicone caulking. Check them all out. If you're at the show, go say hi to Nick and take a look at those new models that he's demonstrating. And if not, go to their website. You can find them at sunshinestatervs.com. That's sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Well, this time we're going to head west with our friends Patty and Tom Burkett. And our journeys this week take us on a two-lane road in Montana.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Oh, said the lady on the other side of the table. I'm so glad you picked that one. That cookie recipe won the Blue Ribbon at the State Fair 8 years ago. It was late September, and the Rocky Mountain Front Farmers Market had pretty slim pickings. Apples, Brussels sprouts, a bit of kale, and those jars of fine-looking cookies. Even though the season was clearly winding down, a dozen or more folks were gathered, chatting around the coffee pot, whose long electric tail stretched to the municipal building across the lot.
A lot of us like to spend some time every now and then in Glacier National Park. If you're entering the park from the east side, the quickest way is up Interstate 15 and then across US 2 to East Glacier or up to St. Mary. We're 100% in favor of spending as much time as possible in the park, but as is often the case, taking a less hurried route to get there can pay off. Unless we're in a big hurry or the weather is bad, we avoid the four lanes, opting instead for the almost always present older Blue Highway that goes through the center of town instead of bypassing it.
Such was the case as we made our way north toward Glacier along US 89, the original highway connecting Yellowstone to Glacier. It's a great road trip all on its own, starting in Flagstaff and winding north through a half dozen national forests, past the Great Salt Lake, through the Teton Valley, and depositing the traveler at the edge of the Waterton International Peace Park on the U.S.-Canadian border. If you drive it right up here near Glacier, you'll undoubtedly be stopped by the imposing brightly colored dinosaurs that greet visitors outside the Old Trail Museum in Choteau, Montana.
Sadly, the museum had closed for the season by the time we wandered through, but the dinosaurs and the other exhibits outside made it worth a look anyway, and that's how we came across the farmer's market in a parking lot around the side. Up here, way north of the Teton Park, the Teton River is dry much of the year and droughts are not uncommon. Still, it's a fertile and productive agricultural area that's supported a strong community since its founding in the 1880s. Among the things you'll notice as you drive through are the school and county courthouse, both made of stone quarried from nearby Rattlesnake Butte. I wouldn't have wanted that job.
As usual, we spent some time visiting with the folks gathered in the farm market lot and gleaned a few historical tidbits. David Letterman owns a ranch a few miles out of town and was married at the attractive Stone Courthouse in 2009, but not before a local rancher had to pull their pickup truck out of the mud, where he and his bride-to-be had gotten stuck on the way to the ceremony. Outside of town, it's possible to see traces of the old North Trail, which is the route of U.S. 89. The trail has been in use for more than 10,000 years and is likely the route that was used by the first humans to cross the Bering Land Bridge to North America as they moved south.
Along the main street is a cluster of small houses, just alike, which the experienced eye will recognize as a 1930s-era motor court. Now the houses are individually owned, and some of them have been added to, but their origin is clear. The next day we called the editor of the Choteau Acantha to inquire about them and was directed to a nearby Skyline Retirement Lodge, where an old-timer was happy to tell us about the cabins built around a Texaco station and how he used to fill his bike tires there as a kid.
Choteau has a city park where $10 will get you a tree-shaded campsite with water and restrooms in the warmer seasons. Not too far away are an abundance of natural areas, two bird sanctuaries, the Freezeout Lake Wildlife Management Area, Bean Lake, all with places to spend the night. Whether it's a late-night movie at the still-operating Roxy Theater or an early morning cookie at the farmer's market, life is good and interesting here in the foothills of Montana's Rocky Mountains, just off the beaten path.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Well, it was a great report from the Burkitts again.
They always have a great report.
And they sent along a couple of photos. We'll put those in the show notes for this episode. You find it all on the RV Lifestyle travel blog, rvlifestyle.com. New stories every day, sometimes two and three times a day. Make sure it's a part of your web surfing habits, rvlifestyle.com. We'll be back on the podcast a week from today, next Wednesday, with even more. Thank you guys for listening.
Happy trails.